Welcome back to Remodeling Reinvented, where we bring you expert insights into home remodeling, design, and architecture. I'm your host, Caitlin Copley, along with Diana Volker. And today, we're diving into remodeling versus moving and how to prioritize the right spaces for you. Joining us today is Jim Groen, a project director and architect for Jackson Design and Remodeling. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
So Jim has been in the remodeling industry for over 35 years?
1990.
Wow. And you've worked with hundreds of homeowners over the years, right?
Oh, yeah. Lots of fun.
Great. So, Jim, remodeling versus moving is a decision that many homeowners struggle with. So what are some key factors they should consider when deciding between remodeling versus moving?
Well, a lot of our clients ask us that question because we do larger scale whole home remodels. So with that amount of investment, they're wondering, does it make sense to cut bait and move on or invest that money in their homes? And so it's a very personal decision and a client-by-client decision. But some things to think about are the increase in property taxes. So with the homes values going up and up, if you've been in your home for 5+ years, your property taxes are currently at a very low rate. And when you buy that next home, that's the inflation, you know, what those taxes are going to increase. That's going to be an annual cost that you're going to be spending over and over again. Your current loan. So back 10 years ago, we had these amazing loans at 3%, 2.99, and now they're at 7. And so that additional interest rate always plays a big factor with that. As well as when you go to sell your home, you're going to have approximately 10% of costs in moving, realtor's fees, improvements to your current home to make it marketable. And then you're going to probably, when you move, that new home is going to need some work itself. So there's always that amount of money that you need to factor in the cost. As people are considering a major remodel and they're thinking about that $600,000 to $800,000 budget, sounds astronomical. It actually makes sense if you're comparing that to a move.
And how do emotional attachments, location, or neighborhood ties factor into their decision?
Yeah, that's just as important because you have the monetary factor, but then you have the emotional component as well. So if you've been in your home for 10 to 30 years raising your kids, you have that history and that connection to those walls. And there's a certain soul that your home has that you really can't recreate with a new home. Now, if you're ready to move on, if it's a change of life and a new season for you, then maybe that makes sense. But you know, if it's convenient to, with friends in the neighborhood and you have those relationships or work or church or school, that always plays a part. And again, I think that there are certain things that you can't recreate in a new environment that give real value to that home. And then even talking about how long you plan on staying in that home. I was talking to a client. I was asking if this is going to be his forever home. And he said, well, actually, this is more of a legacy home, that I'm not just going to pass this home on to my kids, but to my grandkids. I want to keep this in the family. And we have these pieces of gold, which are our homes in Southern California, which are extremely valuable at this point. And so if you consider that you may be passing this home on to generations, it changes your perspective of what that investment represents.
So it's kind of looking at all of those factors combined, seeing what makes sense for you and your family. Okay, great. When it comes to return on investment, which areas of the home do you believe tend to offer the best return on investment?
Well, they've always been the kitchen and the primary suite. You know, the kitchen is the heart of the home where all the memories are made. And that has so much impact on daily life. And so that always gets a great return on investment. And then also the primary suite, making sure it's got plenty of closet space, it represents your life and your aesthetic and all those creature comforts. But nowadays, ADUs have become very, very popular. As an investment is one factor, but then also as multi-generational families, if your parents need to move in and be taken care of, or if your kids can't find a place, because again, they're priced out with Southern California prices, having those multi-generational families really becomes another way that you can maximize your investment in your home. Then one other option is the outdoor living. You know, we're in Southern California and you can just create a whole nother space to enjoy. It has a different function and personality and vibe to it. That's a great way of adding this additional living space that you can use for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of clients want to do indoor-outdoor living, almost creating a family room outside just by utilizing a patio cover or louvered roof or anything like that. That's a good tip.
Yeah, if you put that solid roof over it that protects you from the rain, then you have lighting, you put speakers in, you could put some radiant heaters in or a fire feature. That all of a sudden now becomes an actual space versus just an outdoor trellis patio.
And are there any hidden gems or spaces that people sometimes overlook that they maybe during the remodel or towards the end, they're like, oh, I should have done the laundry room, or I should have done this? Or
I think that's a case by case basis. And that's where with your design team, getting into those conversations that talk about how you live and what makes your life and your home, how do you make your home really function and work for you? Those conversations that are really important. And it's not just the what are you doing, it's the why are you doing it, and uncovering those really core essential reasons of what's inspiring the project. And so then as you're going through those conversations, you may go in a tangent and start talking about whatever. And that can lead to, well, you know what, that does make sense, that we should also take advantage of this opportunity and take care of the space as well.
So Jim, how do lifestyle needs factor into their remodeling decisions?
Well, it's critical because your home is a reflection of how you're living. And so it's again, not just asking what rooms you want to add on, but why are you adding those rooms? So let's put a bedroom on your house. Well, is that bedroom for an infant or is it for your teenage son? Because if it's for your infant, you're going to want that right adjacent to the primary suite so mom can get up and take care of the baby. And she has that connection and that comfort and security that her baby's right there. If it's for your teenage son, you want him on the complete opposite end of your home.
Although he might act like a baby sometimes.
You add him onto the neighbor's property. But again, each function has a different why to it. And so those conversations of understanding how you're using that space is critical. So yeah, seasons of life, as you're aging in place, how do you transform your home so you don't have to move into assisted living? You widen the doorways, you make barrier-free access. If you have a step down into your living room, how do you level that out? Even the colors that you use, the lever hardware versus handles, things that you can grab onto as you're getting older. These are things that allow you the freedom to choose where you want to be, if you want to stay in your home or if it makes sense to move on. That at least gives you some options.
From what I've heard, you don't have to wait till you're getting a little bit older to make some of those adjustments. Can't during the construction phase, can't they prep, for example, something in the shower if they want to add grab bar later on? Aren't there some things you can do during
put the backing in so that you have that structural soundness to add that eventual grab bar. But nowadays, those types of features aren't institutional or ugly anymore. They've created some really beautiful accessories so you don't feel like you're living in an institution. So you add them right now because it just adds more safety and versus slipping. Anyone can slip in a shower. So why not add them now?
That makes perfect sense. Going to another topic. So a lot of people kind of go back and forth, should I phase my project or should I just tackle maybe the whole home all at once? So what are the pros and cons of each of those approaches?
If you build your projects separately, say you've got 15 different things you'd like to do around your home, you can start to categorize those, and three of them will make sense to do together. This one's kind of an outlier, so it really can be done at any time. You can strategize of those projects which ones make sense to do. Doing them smaller and separately, obviously the investment is less, so that's going to save you money, shorter length of construction, and it actually gives you the ability to focus on one project at a time versus sometimes you can get so overwhelmed with all the decision making because it's a lot of work to remodel an entire home. It takes a lot of effort, not just on the design build firm, but also on the client. The disadvantages of doing projects separately is that you've got multiple set of costs because there's certain things that have to happen with each project. And if you repeat them over and over, those are just fixed costs that you're going to be repeatedly paying. Putting a project off, you can anticipate about 6% of inflation per year. So those costs just keep rising up. And then you're going to have multiple remodeling experiences. And those experiences of remodeling aren't the best, right? I mean, it's the challenging. You've got people in and out of your home. You've lost privacy. There's going to be dust. And so it's an emotional experience going through a remodel. So if you're, don't have young kids or elderly folks that have issues with respiration, right? Those are the things you need to take into consideration if you're going to be able to do them all at one time or not. If you're doing your project simultaneously, you're going to get the efficiencies of scale. If you're stuccoing 15 feet of wall versus 45 feet of wall, it's not three times the price. You've got multiple trips that the person's coming out there anyways. So there's that efficiency of scale. You're going to be able to access a higher level of remodeling professional. So those higher quality remodeling firms are going to be more interested in a larger scale project. And you're going to have a more holistic design. You can have your one designer that's going to look at your entire home. and have that vision that's consistent. Or if you're trying to do a project 5 years later, that same tile or fixtures or countertop material, whatever, may not be available at that time. So that's a concern that you have to at least take into consideration. Obviously, the disadvantages is the larger project, the more the investment's going to be and the length of time is going to stretch out. And then we're talking to our clients that are having to move out of their homes, and they need to now factor in housing as part of their investment. If you're paying $3,000, $3,500 a month in rent and you've got a 10-month project, that's literally $35,000 that now you have to allocate. That's part of the budget, and that impacts your appliance package or your plumbing fixture selections. That's real money that you need to factor into the budget.
So, Jim, that brings me to another question. A lot of clients wonder, do people live in the home during the remodel, or do they rent something out? And what are some factors that would affect doing either solution?
Well, we've had a couple of clients recently live through their projects, and we had to do them in two phases because we worked on one half of the house and got that completed and cleaned up and then built those temporary walls, and then they moved to the other side of the home. And one was an elderly lady that lived by herself, and the other was a family with a huge dog. And it's, again, it's taxing. I can't
underestimate.
I don't downplay it, right? It's people coming and going, and it's a daily impact. I'm not having a kitchen and having to deal with microwaving and barbecuing or knocking on neighbor's doors. It's just something to really have a conversation about as a family to see what makes sense. And all of this can have really good conversation before you start construction. You can have that with your team, right? And have them give you the truth of how long is this really going to take. Don't tell me what I want to hear, but tell me the truth of how long this is realistically going to take. And once you have good information by your design team in your design build firm, then you can make the right decision for your family.
Right, because we see the before and after pictures and it's gorgeous, and it can sometimes inspire, hey, I want to do that remodel. But I think if you really have to factor in all of those things that you just mentioned and see for your family, am I ready to undertake all of this?
It's not HGTV. I need to suggest that they talk to folks that have gone through living in their home and talk to a client that has actually experienced it. They'll get some real information.
So, Jim, can you talk to us about some success stories you've had over the years? I'm sure you have lots of stories you can share.
Yeah, well, quite a few. Thinking about one recently, though, we had a client that we did a project for about 10 years ago and went great, had a great relationship with them. And they said they wanted to consider doing their kitchen, but they wanted to wait until they got their daughter out of college. So I get that, right? You can only have so much money for so many things. 10 years later, a couple of years ago, we got a call back and they said, we're ready to do our kitchen, and went back out there and met with them and talked about all the ideas. And I said, well, it's really great that we reconnected. What is it that we did for you that earned us the opportunity of coming back for a second project? And they said there was one time when they were, we were in the middle of their project. We had to run some electrical wires from one point of the house to the other, and we had to cut through their laundry room ceiling to run the wiring and then patch it. And we did the work, it was done. And the project manager comes out and takes a look at things, and he says, you know, that patch isn't quite right. I think I'd like to redo it. And the wife said, no, it's fine. We're just about to paint it. Just leave it alone. It's just the laundry room. Don't worry about it. Well, the next day he got back out there, repatched the ceiling, blended it, made it look beautiful. And it was that thing that they just couldn't get over, that what was good enough for them, we wanted to hold the bar a little bit higher and just make sure they were happy with it. And they really appreciated that feeling of connectivity with them, that we wanted the best for them. And so we just went through, you know, another 8 months of a quite extensive, gorgeous kitchen that we did for these folks. And we celebrated. They had us over to as a closeout meeting, and she had this beautiful charcuterie board out and just so proud of her kitchen. And, you know, it's neat to come back to a home years later when you've seen people living in it and enjoying it and hearing the stories of how what we've done for them has impacted their lives. And then getting a second opportunity it just makes it that much better.
That's so wonderful to hear. I know you even mentioned recently a client reached out to you and they sent you pictures from their addition or balcony of their beautiful sunsets. So I'm sure that feels good every time
you receive
some of those. Yeah, for sure. All right, Jim, to end things, I have some quick fire questions I wanted to ask you.
Quick fire. Okay.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So what's your favorite home style?
My favorite home style would probably be an eclectic style. I love seeing like antique pieces of furniture with, you know, in this contemporary setting. And it's having this, I don't want to say helter-skelter, but just this interesting mix of old and new. I think that's a really fun way of combining family heirlooms along with, you know, an updated home.
Yeah, that's great. What about a favorite paint color you like to use?
I would just say one of my favorite colors is emerald green because that's my birthstone.
Oh, okay. And what about a favorite kitchen appliance or kitchen gadget you can't live without?
I'd say a corkscrew, but that's a little bit embarrassing. I tell you, I love making soup. And so whatever, you know, a good knife, I'd probably say that actually is, there's nothing like having a great sharp knife to do your cutting of veggies and all that good stuff.
Right. Well, and you owned your own restaurant back in the day, right?
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. it was fun. Little Prescott, mountain town, Prescott, Arizona. I tried, left the remodeling business to open up a cafe. And a year and a half later, I was right back in the remodeling business.
You just couldn't get away. Well, good for you. Thank you so much, Jim, for being here today.
Sure, it was a blast.
And that's a wrap on today's episode of Remodeling Reinvented. Remember, when you're considering a remodel, the key is making informed and strategic choices. If you loved today's episode, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.